Welcome to Take It Off, the podcast where we ditch the heavy layers and get real about who we truly are beneath it all. I'm Julie, and together with my co-host and friend, Jess, we'll share our own stories and explore the triumphs and tribulations of being a woman in today's world. Let's get real, have some laughs, and inspire each other to embrace our true selves. Welcome to Take It Off. Welcome back to season two of Take It Off.
Yay!
It's good to be with you. I don't know about you, but I miss podcasting when we're not together. And so I'm just really excited to be back with you, Jess, and to kick off our first episode of the second season. And we're coming to you off the holiday season in January, but not the early days of January. More like, I would call them the doldrums of January. Mm-hmm. Can we call them that?
Yeah, I think that sounds fair. Yeah.
You know, Quitter's Day is mm-hmm. in the past. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Quitter's Day is the second Friday of January. So this year that would have been January 10th. Mm-hmm. And it's Quitter's Day because that's the day most people give up on their New Year's resolutions.
That's so sad.
I know. 10 days into the year. So we thought it would be a good conversation today to come to you and chat a little bit about New Year's resolutions and find out if you're in camp New Year, New You, or do you take a little more skeptical approach to New Year's resolutions? So Jess, mm-hmm. I'm going to toss it off to you because I know you've got some wisdom to drop on us this morning as it relates to resolutions. So tell us, how do you feel about New Year's resolutions?
I don't know if I'd call it wisdom. I mean, I do have a lot of feelings about New Year's resolutions, okay. Right? I think it's personal, right? I think that so many of us, I think it depends on how much self-discipline you have. Mm-hmm. I think that it depends on how much preparation you put into it. I think it depends on what motivates you at your core and how much, like, grace you're willing to give yourself. Mm. I am not someone who really likes to live, like, rigidly. So yeah. For me, I really don't like New Year's resolutions at all. I think that they are a setup for failure. Mm, mm-hmm. I think most of us go into New Year's resolutions with that same, like, mindset, like you just said, like, new year, new you, like, it's like a fun, fresh start, January 1st, like, here we go. And I frankly think it's impractical. I think that you've just lived through, you know, a holiday season, whether it was stressful or not. It probably was.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did you go out on New Year's Eve? Like, are we waking up on New Year's Day not living our best life and all of a sudden we're starting new? And even if we've given ourselves the grace to start, you know, a week into the year.
Yeah.
A resolution is, you know, by definition, it's like a firm decision to do something or not do something.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of us approach resolutions from, like, just a really rigid and restrictive place.
Yeah.
And I think that when we do that and we don't have enough, planning and preparation, but we also don't have a plan to carry those resolutions through the year, mm-hmm. I think it does set us up for failure, and I think failure is really demotivating. I looked up what the top resolutions were for 2025.
Ooh, yes. Tell us.
So, I mean, tell me if any of these surprise you.
Okay. Let me guess.
Okay.
So, lose weight.
Mm-hmm. It's number two.
Number two. Oh, stop drinking.
Okay, that's not actually not on here. And now I'm sort of wondering who my source was. I should have written my source down.
I feel like everybody and their brother is doing dry January.
Except for
me. But anyway.
Maybe we should, just make our own. I feel like we're authorities on this.
So what's number one?
Exercise more.
Oh, okay. Well, that goes hand in hand with lose weight. Okay, so exercise more, lose weight.
Get organized.
Get organized.
Learn a new skill or hobby.
Okay. Live, I like that one.
I do too.
It's not as rigid. Okay.
Live life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not very rigid. Like, I don't know how you quantify that.
Yeah.
So, maybe these are just like general, you know, maybe these aren't like statistical resolutions. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
That's okay.
Quit smoking is one of them. And I feel like quit drinking, you know, and it's probably just like the circles that we like live within, right?
Yeah.
That maybe like quitting drinking is more of a, like what we're hearing.
Yeah.
Save more or spend less.
Okay.
Spend more time with family and friends, travel more, and read more.
Okay.
I mean, I could get behind some of these.
Sure.
I feel like though that most of us, like most of the time when I'm hearing people like setting New Year's resolutions, it has to do with losing weight, exercising more. It's like basically correcting your, or quitting drinking, quitting smoking here. Like it's like a restriction on your body for something it's doing wrong.
It's like a punishment almost.
Yeah.
That's not motivating.
No. And so by the time, I mean, and without like the plan and without the grace that I feel like we all need, especially at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's no wonder most people quit by the second Friday of the month. It's like, this is bananas. And, you know, without that plan in place, they just don't, like one misstep, I guess, if that's what they want to call it, one failure.
Yeah.
Sets them off course for the whole year.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say is I think that when you go into this whole like new year, new you, like resolution idea, you're setting this resolution for the year.
Yeah.
And that's a really long time.
Sure.
A year is a very long time. And I just think it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
I think it's one more reason to beat ourselves up over something that we have complete control over.
Right.
So,
and when will we learn? Because I would be curious to go back 10 years and say, in 2015, what were the top 10 New Year's resolutions? Mm. I bet the list is very similar.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. And, you know, as we talk about on this podcast, life has changed a lot since 2015. And so shouldn't the way we approach the new year change too?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about New Year's resolutions?
How do I feel? I resonate with a lot of what you said. I've never really been a New Year's resolution person for the reasons that you gave, right? Like, it's so rigid. It's not usually graceful, meaning like you misstep one day and all of a sudden it's January 4th and I'm a failure already. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't feel good, right?
Mm-mm.
But what I do love, and you said it a couple of times, is like I'm a planner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I do love a good plan. I do love some SMART goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's how I tend to approach the new year.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go back to that word grace because, and I've shared this with you, I kind of felt like, you know, as the new year started this year, 2025, I was kind of feeling, I don't know, like stuck. And maybe it was because, you know, I had these grandiose expectations in my brain about getting like completely refreshed over the holidays. And while I had a great holiday season, I don't know that I was refreshed on January 1st. Mm-hmm. I was tired, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I think I had these expectations that I was just going to have all of this time to reflect on 2024 and come into January, maybe not January 1st, but certainly January 2nd, because a lot of people were back to work on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to have the plan for my business ready to go, the I's dotted, the T's crossed. And it's a few days after that, weeks after that, and I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that I won't get there, but I think it just means that, you know, I'm not in the camp of a New Year's resolution. I am in the camp of let's make a plan, let's make some goals. And if I don't have those until February 15th or March 1st, that's okay, because I'm constantly growing. That's one of my core values. And so I'm going to keep growing and I'm going to keep leaning into that plan. And eventually it'll come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I can lean on the things that I've already put in process, that just because the calendar year turned over, it doesn't mean I stopped doing those things.
Right. Yeah, I really think
that's how I feel.
I feel like you have to, like, really lean into the nature of your business, the, like, cyclical or non-cyclical nature of your business, how you're, where you're at in setting it up. And you can't hold yourself to, like, arbitrary timelines just because, you know, the year is shifting. I'm definitely somebody who loves, like, the energy of a new year.
Yeah.
I find that I, when I can, like, it depends on where I'm at in business building mode and if I'm in a place to reflect at that time. But I really like to use, like, beginning in mid-November, that time to reflect. Mm. And I love the winter solstice for, like, that period of really deep reflection because it's, you know, generally the, what, like,
The 21st.
Yeah. It was like December. What month am I in right now?
We're tired, Jess.
I know. So, yeah, man, I can't even keep the days right.
So winter solstice.
Yes. Yeah. I use that as like a really, you know, because it is like that's the moment where we celebrate like death and rebirth of the sun and a new like solar cycle. And it's a real, you know, it's the longest night. It's the darkest night. So I love that time to really like spend reflecting on what the year was. And then once I've had that time to do that, I can really just go into enjoying the holidays and letting everything else like fall sort of like by the wayside until, you know, just whatever it is that I need, if I need like healing or joy or time with friends and family and, you know, it just, I don't have to focus on what I want to do to like move into the next year.
Okay. So I love that. And I don't know what it was this year. Maybe it's just that you and I have been talking about, astrology. Mm-hmm. And I saw so many people posting about the winter solstice this year and talking about it. And I had a little bit of FOMO, if I'm being honest. And so, you know, I just said I'm not a New Year's resolution person, but if I were going to set a New Year's resolution, it would be what you just said. To this year, take that winter solstice and give myself some time to pause and reflect so that I have it done before I go into, you know, in our family, we celebrate Christmas. So before I go into the Christmas season, to have that done, I think would have felt so much better. Because now here I am, the middle of January, trying to set goals for myself when I feel like I haven't given myself the proper time to reflect on 2024.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Will you help me with that?
Yes,
in 2025?
Oh my gosh, of course.
Winter solstice.
Well, and I think like I won't go on this tangent, but like the solstice, like too far. I mean, I'm gonna go on the tangent.
It's okay, go for it. I love your tangents.
The solstices and equinoxes are all at the change of a season, right? And and the energy inside us and outside of us is shifting so much at that time. So, you know, there's a reason that we do it at those times because it just correlates to what's going on, like, you know, in the earth and the world around us.
Yeah.
And so winter solstice is really, like, it's my favorite day of the year.
Yeah.
But spring equinox is coming up. We come into summer solstice, and I think that there's I think it's important to honor each of those to change the energy in your body so that you can be living most fully into like what the world around you is supporting energetically.
Yeah.
So we can talk more about that later. But so
I'm here for that.
So I hear you. Winter solstice for sure, but I might impose some spring equinox and summer solstice on you too. I'm not sure.
All right. I'm looking to you for that.
I love that.
Okay, so I'm a goal setter rather than a New Year's resolution person. Mm-hmm. What do you do in place of New Year's resolutions?
So I am a word of the year person.
Me too. We have that in common.
Yes.
Actually, I think you introduced me to that years ago.
Maybe.
So thank you for that. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are starting to like wake up to the fact that it's probably a healthier way to like start your year. And it doesn't mean that you like I know that there are people out there who are really really good at self-discipline and it just works for them to set a really rigid goal and just stick to it, like they just have to do it that way. Like that's not me at all.
Yeah.
And so like I'm not really speaking to those people right now, sorry guys. The word of the year, I think it's just more of like a gentle way to almost like partner with yourself to set an intention for the year. I started doing this in 2018.
Okay.
And so this would be my 8th time setting my word. And I think that a couple of the things that I've really grown to love about a word of the year is I think that it's a way that you can, you set a guide for how you want to feel for the year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this like guiding North Star, like light that every decision that you make, especially every big decision that year, it's supposed to help you figure out, like, is this going to help me feel how I want to feel this mm-hmm. year? Mm-hmm. I think that when you really get into your body and, you know, out of your mind and figure out what do I need in this moment? Mm-hmm. I think that it's just a really good way to kind of have that like mind body connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're also not like punishing yourself for something. Like I could still say like I want to live my most healthful life this year. Like I want to lose weight and I want to you know, do all of the things that I could do by setting a resolution.
Right.
But instead of a resolution where I'm basically like restricting my body, I'm, you know, I'm setting a calorie count and I'm going to go to the gym 4 days a week and I'm going to stop eating carbs and, mm-hmm. you know, cheese and whatever else.
Yeah.
I think that if you set the intention, say like the word is like thrive, I think you have to like almost take it one step further though, where you have to make it deeply personal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how when you set an affirmation,
yeah,
if you don't use words that are like your words,
yes,
your body knows it's not yours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think when you pick a word, you have to like really visualize what that means. Cause thrive could mean in your career. It could mean in your like home life, but say you're using thrive for like a physical health or physical, mental, like all health.
Yeah.
I think you have to take some time to really sit into that and think like, you know, what does thrive feel like to me? And when you get that feeling and you capture it in your mind, I think that you have to just find ways to remind yourself of it. And I think naturally then you start to like make decisions that are based on like that feeling and then the small wins that you get from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have a word?
I do.
For this year?
I do. Did
you know you were like entertaining a few, right?
Yeah, I was. Okay, so my word of the year this year is expand.
Ooh, yes. I like that.
So it's interesting because my word of the year, I learned a lot about my perspective on word of the year through last year's choosing of a word. Last year I chose the word bloom, which is pretty similar.
Yeah, okay.
And I started the year off with like expectations and dreams of like starting this new business. I had really like already put a lot of time into planning the courses that I'm creating and what I wanted to talk about and how I wanted to talk about it. And I wanted to just really like bloom into this like full, not new identity, like the identity that's like always kind of been there, but just like live into the me that I really like knew I was and wanted to be like showing up as.
I mean, it's all the things we've been talking about, right? And like taking off all of these layers to bloom into this person that you wanted to be and needed to be to launch this business.
Yes. Yeah. So by early last year, I was still working two other jobs full time.
Yeah.
And life was just, it was a different pace. And I actually just wrote a blog post about this recently, but I ended up having a really, a really big chronic pain flare up, and it was all consuming. And I spent the better part of the year last year, as you know, really just healing. And it totally interrupted the pace of my year. It interrupted, you know, everything that I had hoped to accomplish. I think that I really expected to be living this like big outward like shift.
Yeah.
And I spent the year going inward. And after I really like explored the doctor's offices and figuring out like the roots of the like physical pain, I started to understand that I really needed to go inward and really do a lot of that like inner excavating in order to heal myself, but also find myself. And so there was a point maybe like halfway through the year where, you know, I was at home because I basically like lived at home for the year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I feel like my word bloom is just so far off base. Like, and I considered changing it at that time.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just tabled it. And this year, as I went into really like reflecting on my year and how far I've come in, you know, working through all of that like inner excavation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what I found is bloom was so accurate because mm-hmm. I was really like blooming inside all along. I think all of this, like this healing journey took me on this whole like inner journey of finding myself and yeah, just like who I am and how I want to show up in the world and who I can help and how I can use the lessons I've learned to help other people.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have that year of like bloom, like inner blooming,
yeah.
I think that I would have, I don't want to use the word wrong. That's like a hard word, but kind of like, I feel like I would have just been doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
I think that I would have, I wouldn't have let myself expand my ideas. So now we move on to this year. And
can I stop you before you talk more about expand? Because when you said that word, like I got goosebumps, but can I offer you a different perspective on your bloom?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay. So as you were talking just now, you said, you know, you really had to look inward and get at the root cause of like what was causing these physical ailments that you were experiencing, right?
Yeah.
And so what I heard was bloom fit you perfectly because, you know, the strongest trees have the deepest roots. And so you've spent a whole year strengthening that, right? That foundation. And so now you can expand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that word was so good for you.
I wasn't visualizing the roots and I love it even more.
Yeah. And I think it was the right word for you.
Yeah. I think so too. And so I think that your word is your guiding light and it is what you feel most deeply at your core. And if that has to change or if you're not ready on January 1st or February 1st.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so expand this year. It's similar to bloom, but I just feel ready to expand in a lot of new ways. I want to bring more like play and creativity into my life and I want to have new experiences and I want my kids to, you know, after a year of really like deep healing for me, I want my kids to say, you know, Mom, let's go do this. And I want it to be a yes. I want to say yes a lot more. And I think expand sort of encapsulates all that for me. And then, of course, in business, like, I want to expand the foundation of who I'm helping and how I'm helping them and all of my offerings and just as a person and my comfort level talking about the things that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, expand.
I love expand.
Now, what about you? I think that I know you're a goal setter, but you are also a word of the year setter.
I am, yes. And I love that your word is expand because my word is amplify. And they're very similar.
Yeah.
And so I think that just speaks to, like, we are really aligned, and that feels really good. Maybe my word should be aligned, but maybe I'll save that for next year.
No, amplify is, I love that for you this year. It just feels like, I like see it, like, resonating off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think expand was actually one of the words that was on my short list. And like you said, though, like, the word has to be, like, your word, right? And, you know, amplify just resonated with me at the time more than expand. So, yeah, my word is amplify. Last year, I'll look back for a second. Last year, my word was reinvent.
Spot on.
I'd say I nailed that. I'm working on courageous confidence this year. So I'm just going to go ahead and say I nailed that. You know, when I look back at what my life looked like a year ago and what it looks like today, I reinvented it, not by myself, with the help of my family, my friends, you, my business colleagues, but reinvent was my word.
But wait, to be clear, you did that.
Thank you.
You had support, but you did that.
Thank you. I need to own that. That's why, yes, thank you. Yeah, so amplify is my word this year. And so what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, I want to amplify my voice mm-hmm. on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I want to amplify your voice. Mm-hmm. I want to amplify the voices of the people around me, my family, my husband, my kids, the women that I coach, the women that are in my circle. I want to amplify all of our voices, all of the things that we're working for, because while we're making progress in this space that I've, you know, carved out for myself, which is getting more women into leadership, we're making progress, but it's just not happening fast enough. And so to pick up the pace, I really feel like we have to amplify. So amplify is my word. I want to share one of the ways that I'm doing it. And what something you said made me think of it. You talked about affirmations. Mm-hmm. And I love affirmations. At first, I thought I could just take somebody else's and use them as my own. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like you said, that it just, like, my body fights that. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't work. So you can look to other people for what they use in their affirmations, but you really have to make it your own. I can't remember where. I was listening to something not too long ago, and the person that was talking, it was probably on a podcast, was talking about affirmations. The best time to say your affirmations is in the morning, right when you wake up, and you're kind of in this, like, you're kind of awake, you're kind of not awake, and you want to say, like, oh my gosh, it's 5 a.m. and it's freezing cold and I don't want to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. But if instead you say, today's a great day to have a great day, mm-hmm. I am enough, that's a way of amplifying my voice from the second I wake up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add more to that, but right now that's what I have. Mm-hmm. And then the other great time to say them is at night before you go to bed. So instead of running through your to-do list or scrolling on your phone or whatever negative input that you're putting into your brain before you go to bed, say your affirmations. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, that aligns perfectly with amplify and my word of the year. So that's just mm-hmm. one way that I'm putting that into practice right away.
I love that. I think you could probably, like, of course I go to, like, well, how do you remember to do these things? Because, you know, I don't remember anything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you could just, like, keep a little, like, note card or post-it note next to your bed.
Yeah.
Or, like, we've talked a lot about guided meditations. I bet you could find, like, a guided meditation that aligns with the messaging of your yeah. word of the year and, like, yeah. fall asleep to that.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Because even if, like, it's like those, like, little vortex times where, like, your subconscious and your conscious mind are, like,
exactly
so connected.
Yeah.
And I think that even as you're falling asleep, even if you're not, like, consciously hearing something, your subconscious is still hearing it.
Yeah.
And so the more you can, like, support your life mm-hmm. with the messages that, like, reiterate your word, probably the more it's going to, like, integrate yeah. into, like, how you live.
Yeah.
You'd be more likely to feel what you want right. to feel.
Yeah. And, like, for me, it's just I almost have to stop myself in the morning. So, like, when I get – I'm the first one to get up, so it's dark. So, like, a post-it note is probably not the best solution for me. But if my brain starts saying – like, this morning it happened. It was 5 a.m. I had a late night last night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe I should just sleep in until 6 a.m. And I was like, no, it's a great day to have a great day. Mm-hmm. And I'm enough, and I'm getting out of bed.
Yeah.
And I got out of bed, and I'm so glad that I did.
Oh, that's amazing. I hit the snooze button this morning. Which,
Grace, Jess. Yep.
Still a great day. It's yeah. still a great day.
Well, and I, you did share a great blog post on your Instagram. And if folks aren't following Jess on Instagram, they should. But your blog post just on, like, looking back on your word of the year from last year and how you're settling into your word this year and giving yourself grace. Like, it was really thoughtful and well-written.
Thank you.
And I just want to mention, too, that on the Lunar New Year, which is coming up in a few days, I'm leading a webinar on helping people pick their word of the year. Mm-hmm. Because, as we've been talking about, it's never too late mm-hmm. to pick your word of the year.
Perfect.
Okay. Enough on that. We've probably, like, told them all they need to know about word of the year. Do you
well,
think?
Well, okay.
No, you've got more?
I just, all right, I give have it to a couple us. Questions for you.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I think that there are still going to be people who are going to take a more rigid approach, and there are people that are going to want to pick their word of the year, but I guess I would love to leave, like, any thoughts on like how somebody can do that if they haven't done it yet, right? It's still like mid-January-ish, like even if it's late January by the time you're hearing this, even if it's like March or June, you can still pick a word of the year, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you have any suggestions for how to pick a word of the year or how to stay like aligned with your word of the year?
Yeah, really, really good question. And I'll answer both. Well, two questions. I'll answer both of them. Mm-hmm. So first, how do you go about picking a word of the year? And this is where typically I just pick it by myself. But this year, because of a circle that I'm involved with, I did it with a group of women on a webinar. And that's why I want to replicate it for more women later this month. And it was just really, it was a really supportive environment. We just, you know, asked ourselves a lot of questions, mostly reflecting on the past year. And I'm so glad that I did that when I did it, because it was before all the rush of the holidays, right? So I write a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And in December, I like poured my heart out in the welcome part of the newsletter, inviting people to reflect on 2024 and not only think about what you're celebrating, but also the lessons that you learned. And I shared a few like high level lessons, like, you know, you can reframe a no into a not yet, and learning that I'm not for everyone. But I feel like I hadn't given myself that work time to do it like I want to do this year on the winter solstice. So as I was preparing for this podcast today, I was like, Julie, like, you haven't given yourself time to think about this yet. And so I gave myself just a little bit of time this morning to think about some of the lessons that I've learned and what I'm celebrating. And the big thing that I took away from it, and I promise this is getting back to how I chose the word amplify, is that when you're starting out as an entrepreneur, the wins are small. If anybody tells you they're not, they are a unicorn. It is not most people's experiences, right? I had a lot of small wins this year, and I didn't give myself permission to truly like celebrate them, like wholeheartedly celebrate them. Like, I even noticed it when I was talking about my word reinvent, and I was like, yeah, I did this, but I had all these people helping me. And you're like, no, you did that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with these small wins, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, I shared earlier how I'm, you know, feeling maybe a little stuck so far this year. Mm-hmm. And so, reflection is a great way to get at your word of the year. And for me personally, it was reflecting on why am I not giving myself permission to celebrate these small wins in the early days. That's all you have to celebrate. So you mm-hmm. might as well use it for motivation to get to the bigger wins. Mm-hmm. And you can speak about this a little bit, but you were telling me about in the yogi world, how we shouldn't be so attached to outcomes mm-hmm. and how we should just, you know, appreciate the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the idea of practicing detachment or, you know, non-attachment, and just, trusting the journey and knowing that when you are too attached to a certain outcome, you shape your actions in a way that they're almost like, again, to not overuse the word, like rigid, but too like, they're too structured in a way that like you're going towards this outcome. And sometimes the outcome isn't supposed to be the one that you're attached to. Maybe there's a different outcome that's better aligned with your end goal, or an outcome that has a different lesson like rooted within it that you really need in order to like step to the next level. And so, you can use this concept of like detachment and apply it to a lot of different things. But I think here, I think it again, it's sort of like giving yourself grace too. It's all sort of intertwined.
Yeah. So I think to answer your question, you know, if I would give anybody some advice on how to pick a word, it's looking back to look forward. It's maybe, you know, bringing some of your girlfriends together to talk about it, because mm-hmm. sometimes as you're talking, they will hear things that you're not hearing. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes that experience even richer. How do you go about selecting your word, or would you have any other tips?
Yeah, I do. And actually, before I go there, I want to say I've heard you mention a few times that you've been feeling stuck at the beginning of this year.
Yes.
And I have to put on my like Astro Jess hat and tell you that the energy of the stars right now is actually really like mucky in that way. Oh, so it's really okay. Like not surprising that you would feel that way. And yeah. Just a quick like Astro 101. So Mars is the planet of like action and getting things done and okay. checking the boxes.
Okay.
And when Mars, like every time a planet transits through a zodiac house, mm-hmm. Your, like say Mars specifically, your drive,
yeah.
your action is going to be impacted by the house that it's in.
Okay.
So Mars is currently spinning backwards.
Okay.
They don't actually spin backwards. It just looks that way. But we say okay. Mars is retrograde. And Mars just retrograded back into Cancer, which is, it's the zodiac sign of family and nurturing and intuition. And Mars is said to be in its detriment when it's in Cancer. It does not like being there because it feels really mucky, murky. Like, so a Mars retrograde in Cancer might make you feel reflective. It might make you feel like things are constantly getting in the way of you, like checking boxes or that you're constantly having something like some sort of like deeper something is like blocking your way. So anyway,
when does the muckiness end?
Well,
when does Mars start spinning the right way?
Well, Mars is going to spin the right way in February.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
good news.
Okay.
But Mars isn't going to change signs until mid-April.
Oh.
But I think okay. like it's like the first days of the transit that are usually like the worst. So it'll get easier, you know, as time goes. But the good news is Mars goes into Leo next, and Mars and Leo love each other. They're both like fiery and action-packed.
Okay.
And so April.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So,
word of the year. Picking your word of the year.
Yes.
I think that, like you said, reflection is probably the biggest thing. I think taking time for mindfulness and getting out of your head and into your body and figuring out what it is that you like really need to like fill yourself up this year is important. Because I think that it is really, when it comes down to it, it's a feeling, you know, even if it's something achievement oriented, like, is it pride in yourself that you want to feel? So I think taking time to connect to that, I think really making sure it's your word, you know, researching, going on ChatGPT, tell ChatGPT what it is that you want to feel this year and say, give me like 50 word options and read through them. And chances are there's going to be one that just like stands out. It's like, this is the one.
Yeah.
And I think giving yourself like grace in a timeline, if you haven't, like, don't pick a word just to
check
a word.
Box.
Yeah. Check the box. Like, make sure that you wait until you have what it is that you're really looking for.
Because like you said, a year is a long time. So if it takes you a few extra days, weeks, months, that's better than selecting a word that you don't love.
And sometimes it could be your intuition that's sort of like creating that wedge between like keeping you from having clarity, because maybe there's, you know, more, maybe you're not seeing the full picture of like what your year is to be yet. But I think keeping your intention visible, I think like keeping that word of the year on some sort of like note card on your bathroom mirror or your card dashboard. And then I think really like supporting your intentions with those mindset shifts, like the affirmations, finding ways that you can just support your expansion or amplification through, you know, different tools that can just help you integrate it deeper.
Yeah. So I do similar things. And last year I actually started doing this exercise with my daughter. And so this year, we talked about it again, and so she picked the word unstoppable, and she knew that my word was amplify, so for Christmas, she gave me a bracelet that says amplify on it, and so I've got it hanging by my desk because it's very fragile, and I don't want it to break. She also gave me this little charm that is a megaphone. It says cheer on the other side, but I just flipped it over and put it on my board.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like front and center, right? Mm-hmm. I'm also a big vision board person. Mm-hmm. So last year I created my first vision board and I posted it where I work out in the morning. And so I look at it every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm almost, I'm probably like halfway through creating my one for 2025. And you better believe Amplify is in the upper left-hand corner where I will look at it every single day. And I think the last thing I'll share is Amplify, expand. Those are big words. Mm-hmm. But just like, you know, for all my financial friends who are listening, just like how interest compounds, daily, you know, drops in the bucket will compound for your word of the year too. So it's not like, you know, today I'm going to amplify all of the women's voices. Right. No, today I'm amplifying my voice by recording this podcast with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow it might look different. But if I can steal a line from James Clear and his Atomic Habits, it's how do we just get 1% better? How do I just amplify 1% more every day? I can probably do that.
I love that. And I love that you said that it can look differently because in order to amplify your voice, you might be recording a podcast today and doing something else later that's going to reach more people. But tomorrow you might know that in order to continue amplifying your voice, you just need a really long nap or a walk outside or rest. And so, it's not about every single day, reaching for the absolute stars to like impact as many people as you can.
Yes.
Because sometimes you do just need rest so that you can, you know, speak louder, share more in days ahead.
Yeah.
And
I also need the quiet some days.
You do need the quiet some days. And I also love that you brought your word selection into your family because I think that that's amazing to be able to share that with kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that that's a way to integrate it more into like day-to-day life because now your daughter is like, you know, like she's not like monitoring you, but like she knows she's going to check in because she's good with that stuff. And mom, how's your word of the year going? And, it's just another way that you get to look at it and like be proud of passing that
Absolutely,
on.
Yeah.
And it's something to share with her.
Yeah. I think that's really
the more, cool.
I do believe the more people you tell that about or mm-hmm. tell people about your word, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. So I feel like now we are, we're going to mix it up a little bit as we wrap up these episodes, right? And I think we would love to share something that we're excited about. I think it's so important, especially you called them the doldrums of January earlier. And I think this time of year can be a grind, but it can also be like, I don't know, like kind of down. And I think it's really important to share excitement right now.
Mm, it's cold in Pennsylvania right now.
It is cold. Yes. So what are you excited about this week?
Yeah. Yeah. I am excited to leave in a couple of days for warmer weather. So I'm going somewhere warm and I'm going to be with my cabbie sister. So a lot of you know that one of my loves in life is fashion and style. And last year, as a part of my reinvent year, I started working as a cabbie stylist and the new spring line comes out shortly. And I'm just excited to be someplace warm and see clothes that are for the warmer weather and start to think about spring and April when Mars is more friendly to me.
Yes, yes, exactly. I love that. I love that. And I can't wait to see the cabbie lines and they always have such fun. I think the only patterns in my closet, I'm a very like basic kind of person, but I think the only patterns in my closet are from cabbie.
I love it. What are you excited about?
What am I excited about? I have a lot that I'm excited about this week. I'm recording my first course finally.
Yay!
I'm really, really excited about that. I have several that are fully like mapped out and ready to go. The workbooks are done. I just literally need the videos done. And so I'm starting that. But actually the thing that I'm most excited about as we're talking about this and amplification, I'm excited to just start like to be back here podcasting. I'm excited to start growing the podcast again. I do want to say, if you're here and you're enjoying listening, we would love it if you would share it with a friend or leave us a review or follow. I think the follows are really important, but we're going to dive into all that in the next few weeks and figure it out. You'll be able to find us on social media soon. But in the meantime, definitely follow Julie and I. Julie's is jmw.collective. Mm-hmm. And I'm Jess Callahan_. So
on Instagram.
It's, what else is there? But, just kidding.
We love LinkedIn.
Can't forget all of the others. But find us on Instagram. Follow along. We can't wait to be back here with you guys and just continue sharing. So thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.